Hello, it's a good Saturday morning from the weekend edition here in Highland Radio with Greg Hughes. Hope we find you very well today. Another busy show coming up for you. We have the No Salt celebrity chef Brian McDermott joining us in studio to talk all things food. We're here for a new programme which will see a TD invited to live in the shoes of an average family. That should be interesting. We hear about Wayne Fest, which is running in Donegal at the moment. Oisin Kelly will be on with us, giving us some updates from the Donegal Harvest Rally. And there's live music from the Henry Girls. All this and so much more. Your calls, comments and requests are welcome. You can call us on 07491 25000 by phone, of course, or text the programme 086 77 00 555. Yes, indeed. You're very welcome along to this chilly but dry and fresh Saturday morning. I'm joined in studio initially this morning to discuss the week's news and see what's in the papers today by Dahi Ramsey, manager of On Green On Theatre and all-round social media moaner.
Thanks, Greg. Good.
I'm only joking. Social media commentator. There's tons to moan about. How are you, Dahi?
I'm good. It's a beautiful morning out there, isn't it? You know,
mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous.
It's fresh and it's dry, and that's good. It's good for the rally, actually. A lot of people will be making their way towards the stages to take up their spots. Oisin will be on with us very shortly to give us a bit of background to the rally and also to give us some updates, because things are underway now already. But we're going to be talking about the news generally. What should we kick off with? It's been a funny all week of news, hasn't it?
It has. I suppose one that really caught my eye looking through the papers this morning was a strange one. It's in the Daily Mail. Man sues MCD over oxygen broken ankle. And the story basically goes that a guy was at a festival, mm-hmm. Oxygen, which naturally, as they are, is held in a field. Got stuck in the mud.
Yes.
Fell over and has hurt himself, a broken ankle, or a fractured ankle, it says here. Had to have surgery. And he's suing the organisers for negligence.
Mm.
And I just find it very strange that it's actually got to court, I have to say, you know.
But I suppose anything can get to court. It kind of puts me in mind and not pre-judging the outcome of that. But do you remember the lady in Copperface Jacks? She attempted the lift from, what's that film with Patrick Swayze in again?
Oh, Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing,
yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
she attempted the lift of that, but the person who was to be the lifter was unable to lift the liftee, and she fell over and injured herself. But she ended up suing the nightclub for it. I don't think terribly successful. Okay, Dahi, back to the news then. So that case is still ongoing. I think the judge is going to take a little while to find out if...
It'll be an interesting one to see it. I mean, it would have great implications for... big implications for festivals.
I wouldn't fancy being a festival organiser seeking to get insurance if that were to come to pass.
Yeah. I'm sure it's expensive enough anyway,
but in generally in life, you know, I mean, there is a personal responsibility, and I think sometimes we forget that. I'm not talking about that case because that's an open case in court, but generally speaking, I don't know, you know, I've come a cropper now and again, but I suppose sometimes you have to say that's your own fault, don't
you?
Take okay, what else have we got there?
I suppose the big national story this week with the local interest is John McNulty and the election for the Shannon, which we now know he narrowly lost. And it's an astonishing headline, really, in the Irish Independent when you think about it. Relief for Kenny as Fine Gael's McNulty narrowly loses crunch election. So the Taoiseach is relieved that his candidate has lost an election, which loses them control of the Shannon as well.
It was an absolute cock-up's the only way to describe it, really, from the very, very beginning to the end. We have an interview with John McNulty, a 5 or 6 minute interview, which we're going to play before the end of the programme, where, you know, there are key questions that need to be asked, and they are put to him. Whether people are satisfied with the answers or not remains to be seen. But from the get-go,
it's been incredible. One of the things that strikes me today, looking at it as well, from the outcome of it, is that Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin have basically elected an ex-British soldier who was a member of Fine Gael. I mean, that's how extraordinary this story is.
Yes.
You know, but it's just been incredible. And I think, I was thinking about it this morning as I came in, and really, we're used to strokes in political life in Ireland, but what's happened here is they got caught.
Mm.
And, my mammy always used to say that's the only crime in Ireland,
what's
really
the problem?
Getting caught.
Yeah, but what is the part? What's the point of being caught if there are no consequences for being caught?
Yeah, I suppose the consequences
if this was Britain, it's very possible that Minister Humphreys would have stepped down. You know, because there was so much.
And she's only in.
As a fall person, you know what I mean. But someone's been caught. With all due respect to Mr. McNulty, on Monday, this is a non story now, you know.
Yeah. Which is how Fine Gael now wanted.
Well, precisely.
Because they want it buried.
It's great that we talked about it for a couple of weeks, I suppose, but in effect, it achieved nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's extraordinary. I think the British thing is different. I think they have a veneer of or an illusion of accountability, because the simple thing is, with the first past the post, there's, you know, one Tory looks pretty much like another Tory to them and is guaranteed the seat, really. Although I know UKIP took their first seat there, didn't they? Whereas in Ireland, a by-election, as we'll find out now with Roscommon in Dublin yesterday, they're on the edge. Yeah. Things can happen. So I think they're more likely to hang on that way.
The big story, really, I suppose, from a democratic point of view, is the Shannon now. The government no longer has a majority in it. So theoretically, it's time for reform now. And if it can function as a body to hold the Dáil to account, well, without that government majority, it perhaps has that ability to do so now, because the numbers don't add up for Fine Gael Labour.
Well, exactly. It's going to be very interesting.
I think we'll
see
what it actually does really now.
Yeah, yeah. And can it do what they claimed it would before the referendum? I think for John McNulty as well, I mean, I think so far he's actually come out with a lot of credit, or people are certainly giving him the benefit of the doubt. And there's no doubt he'll be standing at the next general election, I believe, you know. And I think it's time for us to find out who John McNulty really is, you know. I don't think that's been examined during this at all.
Well, he didn't have the opportunity because, I interviewed him first right at the very start of this whole process. And he seemed very genuine. He seemed very interested in helping the people of Donegal. But he did go before the electorates in the local elections and didn't do very well. So there's this feeling that maybe he's been parachuted into the Shannon. Deputy Dinny McGinley's retiring, you know, and this was all part of a master plan. But that's thrown a spanner in the works. But looking 2 years down the line or less now, as him as a, one of two Fine Gael candidates in County Donegal,
yeah.
Do you think this process will have aided him or harmed him?
I think name recognition is never a bad thing in elections, you know. And as I say, I think he's come out with credit for his stance on it.
Okay.
It's going to be tough. You know, you've got the whole of County Donegal next time. You've got five seats where there were six. Is there a second government seat? You know, I doubt it. I don't think so. But then...
Well, it's looking... You know, it's looking Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, to Sinn Féin and an independent.
Yeah, that's how I'd read it as well, you know. Now, does he have a chance to knock at the actual Fine Gael seat, is it?
Well,
it's an interesting question,
you know. No disrespect to Minister Joe McHugh, but, I mean, if it were a situation they were running two candidates and Joe McHugh happened to go out first, it would be quite interesting if it turned out it was Mr. McNulty that ended up getting that seat. 086-7700-555 is the text line. You can call us 07491-25000. Joan Burton made the headlines during the week. What did you think of her comments?
I just thought it was astonishing.
Did they annoy you?
Yes, very much.
Excellent.
Very much.
Excellent.
She really annoyed me.
Did it really annoy you? Put your headphones on.
Yeah.
How badly did it annoy you?
It really annoyed me.
Can you hear
me
in your headphones, can you?
I can, Greg.
All of the protesters that I have seen before seem to have extremely expensive phones, tablets, video cameras. There has been the most extensive filming in relation to any of these actions that I have ever seen anywhere. Hollywood would be in the halfpenny place compared to what's done here.
Has she not got a point?
No, she doesn't. She has a very bad point. She has a couple of points. The first one, if she thinks that Hollywood makes their films on a €200 smartphone, God love her. I mean, she knows nothing about technology, but that's an aside. And it's just part of my annoyance that actually carries over. What this is about, as I see it, is poor shaming. If you are poor, if you're on the breadline, you should have nothing good. And that's, you know, as human beings, what we do is we like to have a little bit of goodness. You know, we like to have a little bit of that. We like to have little treats. So what we'll do with our income, you know, we might, you know, if we're finding money really tight, we might not go out for a month and then we have a night out. We'll go to that restaurant. You know,
but
in the good times, we might have gone more often.
Minister Burton's implying, or Taoiseach Burton's implying, you shouldn't do that, is she?
Yeah, she is. It's poor shaming. If you're on the breadline, if you have a low income, and also, if you disagree with the government's policy on water tax, it seems, you should have nothing nice in your life.
Does anyone out there agree with Joan Burton? 086 7700 555 is the text line. 0749 125 000. Our producer Yvonne is waiting to take your calls there. Yes, but if you like, I mean, obviously a lot of guards are involved in protecting some of these sites. There's a lot of great expense there.
Yeah.
Look, they're going in anyway, some people would say. And if they are being, if people are standing around in the middle of the day filming this on very expensive phones, does she not have a point that, but it's just been made very poorly?
No, I don't think
My phone, look at my phone, it's cracked into...
Mine's smashed. Cracked. I have an iPhone 4, so mine's three and a bit years old. But
I can't afford to get a new phone. Like.
And mine's out of contract, you know, but she'd probably think mine was an expensive phone if I was filming her as well. Not that I'd want to film Joan Burton, I'd like to point out. But no, I think as well, one of the things that makes it so extraordinary is she's the leader of the Labour Party. The Labour Party is meant to be the party that speaks up for the disenfranchised.
Yes, but that's gone now.
For
isn't
the
it
poor. If it was the leader of the English Tory Party, if it was Boris Johnson, I'd expect it. Mm. You know, I might even chuckle, you know, for Boris. She's the leader of the Labour Party. It's extraordinary. You know, where's the Labour Party going? Where's the vote? It's as if they've shifted into where Fine Gael are.
But they have got a bump in the polls, though. The most latest...
They were effectively...
Well, they're statistically zero, but they're up 7, 8, 9 points now, you know, so...
Yeah. Well, I think she's a new leader, and that always gives you...
Do you think there's a possibility like there's going to be a rural-urban divide on this and how the government's performing? Because, you know, obviously, in the more rural areas, such as that we live in, for the most part, you know, things are still tight. But if you're in Dublin, if you're in Cork and a number of other places, you're starting to see money back in your pocket, you know? If you run a shop or a theatre or a cinema, you're starting to see...
Yeah.
Well, you know, last year... There was 50 people in for this show. This year, there's 150. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, like we can sort of sit in the sidelines and go, oh, blah, but take a national overview of it. And maybe, you know, they're not doing such a bad job.
Well, I think you see that. I think you see that with the house price, etc. If you average it out, it looks okay. But obviously, this government's policies have had a huge rural-urban divide, you know, and all their policies are about, I mean, all the jobs have gone to Dublin, essentially. So people can either go work in Dublin or they can leave the country.
This is an interesting point of view because, you know, on social media, there is this perception that particularly the state broadcast like RTE, and I'm only representing points of view, I'm not stating a point of view, and I never do here, that RTE do not cover the thousands. Will the protests in Dublin today get the national coverage they deserve?
Yeah.
It's labelled at... At TV3 as well. But the information is now getting out and it's made well by this caller who says the fact that the government control the media, they're not letting them report, which is not really the case, but I can see where they're coming from. And the likes of Labour now are getting annoyed because people are still seeing what they're trying to hide. So, in other words, the traditional media is ignoring a lot of this, but people on the new media are being exposed to it via Facebook, Twitter and other means, and that's what's getting Joan's goats up, is effectively what they call. I mean, there's logic to it, whether it's true or not, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think, you know, obviously when we just had two channels, it was much easier to control the information people got. Two channels, a couple of papers, you know, huge listenership for the national radio stations. It was much easier to control that. The new media makes it easy. I mean, to me, my source of news is actually Twitter.
Hmm.
You know, and I have
is
different
that healthy
views
though?
Well, Twitter, I have lots of different views.
It's not so. Really. It's not lots of different views.
But I do.
It's not. It's anarchy. It's opposition. You know, if anyone goes on Twitter and supports the government, they are ridiculed and lambasted and hung out to dry. If you only get your news from Twitter, you are only getting angry opposition news.
Well, no. Firstly, I've never gone on to support the government, so I wouldn't
know. I'm only putting this as a point of view for the government.
But I follow Highland Radio as well.
Yes.
You know, I follow The Independent. I follow The Irish Times. I follow RTE. Well, they're journalists. Mm-hmm. You know, I follow a lot of the journalists. So I'm getting those...
Right, okay.
You know, more mainstream
And which approaches. Do you feel relates more to you, your feelings?
I think all of it.
Okay, so...
I take it all in. I like the fact that I get all the views.
A text has actually extended your point of view. You said about the views of the poor. I think it's quite a great text here. Joan Burton's also implying that all protesters are poor.
Well, that's true as well.
Which I think is a very good point, isn't it? But then again, that's actually really resonates with me there, because, you know, it's changed my way of thinking slightly a little bit too, because... you know, there's this impression that you are protesting against charges because you can't pay them.
Yeah.
As if you can pay them, you've got no right to protest. So I'm really glad that text came in. A few more here. That's the attitude of this government. Ender said, we've a choice to turn off the tap. It's disgraceful and not in the real world. It's the language too. That was another very peculiar thing to come out with.
It is,
stop using water if you can't afford to pay for it. I mean, it's just out of touch with the electorate, isn't it?
Yeah. And somebody said it on Twitter to me this week, talking about Joan Burton and Labour, and she said, you know, loose lips cost votes. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of it.
Mixing of metaphors there, I think.
It is.
Loose lips sink ships, but yeah. I completely agree with the tarnisher, says this texter. Although she could have made the point better, I personally know many people on the live register who are complaining about water charges, cuts to the dole, etc., but they can easily afford Sky Sports and iPhone 6s, etc.
Well, what I'd say is you get a certain amount of money and you're allowed to do with it what you want, you know. We're not all in direct provision at this stage, you know. The government isn't telling us how to spend our money. They get a certain amount of money. I don't think it's a lot of money. And they obviously go without in other areas to afford those things.
Another text, or pro-government text. Fianna Fáil destroyed the country. Remember, the government has got the country going again. I mean, is it not time, though, that we do start giving this government some credit? We are on the up. Okay, now, obviously, once again, it perhaps is not across the board.
Are we really, Greg?
Are we?
What we're seeing is a huge gap, or growth in the wealth gap. Inequality has risen massively in this country under the government. So again, if you average out the figures, the people who are doing well are doing even better. The people who are doing worse are doing even worse. And, you know, does the government get the blame for that? Do they get the credit?
It's very hard to see the logic of cutting the high rate of tax. Because if you do cut the high rate of tax, which is seems going to happen in the budget, that's the 52% tax, I believe. It could extend or put, you know, further meat on the bones of your argument that, you know, it's a two-tier situation, you know, two-class society.
I find incredible they're going for that. I can only believe it's an election manoeuvre. Mm-hmm. You know, let's face it, governments always have an eye on the next election, you know.
Well, I mean, this is an election budget. I think even people within Fine Gael would can see that. Right, keep your texts coming in. Loads of interesting ones. Really appreciated. And your calls to Avon 07491 25000. The text number 086770555. It's the weekend edition here in Highland with me, Greg Hughes, in the company of Dahi Ramsey. Right, what next?
Okay. I suppose... one of the things I noticed talking of the budget, and it's coming up, obviously, and the cuts. And on the one hand, they're talking about a cut to the top rate of income tax, and then Joan Burton saying, I'll make sure child benefit isn't touched.
Uh-huh.
Which seems extraordinary, you'd have to say it, if you're cutting the top rate of income. But there you go. But one of the things, when I was reading, it came out, there's a rural affairs minister. I didn't know there was a rural affairs minister.
I didn't know we were having affairs in rural Ireland. Oh, that's not what it's about, is it?
No.
Okay.
No. So they're looking at things like, you know, the rural-urban divide, which obviously has exacerbated under the current economic climate. But also things like, obviously, the provision of broadband. And I see in the Donegal News as well, you know, Remelton talking about its poor mobile coverage, its poor broadband. They're saying that no household should be left behind with broadband, which, to be honest, I find extraordinary, as, you know,
Well, I mean, it's not just you.
Almost no broadband coverage at my house.
It's right across the board. Most people don't have decent... I mean, I don't know what the percentage is now. It was at 60% at some stage. But what would actually qualify as broadband, you know? It's terrible in this county. It's fine in some areas, but for the vast majority, it's terrible. And the rural broadband scheme's being scrapped as well, effectively.
Yeah, no, it's gone.
It's gone already.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So,
no,
you know,
I now pay more because I was on that scheme.
Right.
I now pay more for my broadband and get half the allowance.
Right.
You know. It's extraordinary.
And the annoyance is if you want to go on and annoy and complain about it, it's costing you.
it's costing you
to go online to complain. There's another megabyte of data down the tank.
I tell you, there's an organisation in rural England called Barn. B4RN, if anybody wants to look them up. They're incredible. And what they're doing is bringing broadband to farms. They're bringing it to rural houses who hadn't access. Mm. And what they're giving them, and if anyone's in any way tech-savvy, a terabyte connection.
Wow.
Never mind your 6 megabytes or 6 gigabytes, whatever, a terabyte.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 1,000 gigs to a farm. Mm. They're giving them
but
a terabyte.
In fact,
and it's changing the entire economy.
I do want to say
one
thing.
If you did that in Donegal.
Yeah, I do want to say one thing, though. Just in balance, Aircom have got the contract for rolling out broadband into rural areas. And there is a massive list of towns that are going to be broadband enabled and fibre enabled this year into next year. And it's available on their website as well. It would be unfair for me to sit here and not point out the fact that they have a contract and they are broadband enabling networks. Now, it's not going to get to everyone, and I'm not being a spokesperson for them, but the interest of balance.
No.
But that process is ongoing. Like, I got it, you know, I mean, I'm not getting anything fantastic. Now, all of a sudden, I'm not piping up on every broadband issue, you know, that sort of place, because, like, I've got my 3 meg, and which is not an awful lot, but, you know.
But again, it mirrors the situation in the country. We have an urban-rural divide in Donegal.
Yeah.
You know.
There is,
so
yeah,
Letterkenny
sure.
will get good broadband, you know. I won't, living between Remelton, Milford and Rathmullen. My neighbours have broadband. I don't have broadband.
Yeah.
You know.
Are they within throwing stones distance?
Yes. Yes, they are.
A texter says, all I can say is the sooner Gerry Adams and his crew get into government, the better. Have we not seen this before? I seem to recall a certain Mary Harney in opposition getting up in the Dáil and screaming blue murder that things were going to change and everything would be different and we get into power and we're going to do this. And, Mary Harney and her party, where are they now? Opposition politics is incredibly, incredibly easy. I could do that. And my skill set's narrow.
Although, I mean, you'd have to say Fianna Fáil haven't presented much of an opposition at the moment. Mm-hmm. I suppose they're keeping their head down, you know. But yeah, it's very easy to say things, and
Be interesting to see what you know. I mean, a lot of people point to Northern Ireland and what isn't necessarily being achieved with Sinn Féin in power there. That's what some people are saying. So, I mean, like, you know, as I say, I don't think Sinn Féin want to be in power yet. I think they don't want to be in power until they have the numbers to be in an absolute majority government. Not an absolute majority government, but it doesn't suit Sinn Féin to go into power in this election and perhaps next election. I would say they're looking at the next election after this under a new leader, most likely Mary Lou McDonald. This next election is about boosting their numbers, and they don't want to be in power.
Well, I suppose that's possibly true. And we see that every minority party in a government, you know, in a coalition, has suffered for going into, I mean, Labour this time, the Greens, you know, Labour with Fianna Fáil 20 years ago. So they'll be wary of that. But at the same time, Greg, Gerry Adams is 66 years old. You know, how many more throws of the dice has he got at this?
Yeah, but I mean, the bottom line is
when politicians see that minister's car,
you
know.
My understanding is, they have a master plan, and Gerry Adams is not going to be leading Sinn Féin into a government. You know, I can see him handing over the baton sooner rather than later, personally speaking. I think he's achieved enough for a couple of autobiographies with his work in the North, rather than to sully that with the minister's car, in inverted commas.
I think if he wrote them as candidly as Roy Keane, they'd be incredible.
I'm not even talking about Roy Keane. Texter says, we are on the up. You say it in a sweeping comment. Who's on the up?
Yeah.
Worked all our lives, paid tax, lost work, first time needing UB and its charges. Charges like never before. On what up? I never said we were on a... I just want to be clear. When I say things like that, I'm not stating that I'm saying we're on the way up. It's to have the conversation and to reflect the views of the other people so we can have that conversation. But that's what I was saying also, too. On the up, maybe, down the country, but it certainly doesn't feel much like that here. What's next, Dave?
I suppose the councillor's expenses is an interesting one. I know Highland carried it.
The bye-bye money.
During the week. Yeah, yeah. So we're all tightening our belts, and yep. We've been doing it for a number of years. You know, there's no money. You know, they're cutting the health services. They're cutting everything. There's no money for anything. But nationally, for the councillors who've lost their seats, we're handing them 11.6 million in gratuities.
I wonder how many SNAs that is.
Well, I mean, it's just astonishing, isn't it? You know, I just don't understand, really, why. I mean, they got paid while they're there. They obviously got, you know, and I don't want to overstate it, but I don't want to understate it either, influence while they were there. You know, they got a certain standing and position in society. And I know they give up their time. I know they did a job that you take a lot of knocks, and it's a fairly thankless task in many ways, although obviously not financially. And now we're handing some of them 50 grand a man, 60 grand, and saying...
Yeah, and five councillors are collecting 200 grand, who either retired or were de-elected. And then there's another couple that are due when they reach a certain age. You hear these councillors often stand up in council meetings and say, I'm so frustrated. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? We've got no power. We can't make these decisions. This is an absolute joke. I'm wasting my time every single week coming here to Lifford. Things need to change. Well, maybe that's what they're doing there. It's quite a bit of money.
It's a lot of money. And I just think in the times that are in it, the only ones who don't seem to be taking the knock are the politicians. And maybe that's why you get Joan Burton's, you know, chatting about the phones, Enda Kenny talking about turning off the tap when you're brushing your teeth, because they're out of touch. They have the money.
Texter says, we're on the up. Really? IMF forecasted this week that Europe could be heading back to recession with a lack of growth. Yeah, I've heard that quite a bit, all right. Ireland is still in the age of the quiet man, says another texter. Another one says, I have a water connection but don't need it. Do I need to pay water charges that I can't afford? Well, that's a complex question. Presumably the caller maybe is connected to the mains and has a well as well. I'd deconnect from the mains if it was me, if I had an alternative water source, because you have a well on your property, you don't have to pay the water charges. But if your wastewater goes into the mains, then you still have to pay a charge. Shocking ignorance of technology from Ms. Burton, says this texter. When you can shoot a video with a 50 euro phone, 'twas the Irish citizens more than the government policies that dug this country out of recession, so the government won't get all the credit. That comes in from Pat. Thank you very much there for you, Pat. Keep them coming in. Loads of you contributing to the programme via text. It's really appreciated. 086 77 00 555. And Yvonne's taking your calls too. Plenty calling as well. 0749 125 000. There's no U-turn with Enda Kenny. He'll have the people out there in fields eating grass if he says it. He's taking the country more and more into debt. What is it? 600 million we're borrowing still per month. Anyway, perhaps move on to something else, Dahi.
Yeah, I suppose the Sun has a big spread on ISIS over in, Kosovo, I suppose, Syria.
Yeah.
What's happening to the Kurds there, which is just heartbreaking, I have to say, right on the Turkish border. And the ISIS crowd are interesting because they kind of snuck up on everyone. Everybody was looking at Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and getting our heads around what those people constitute and what they're about. And nobody noticed ISIS coming up. And as is the way with these things, you know, they appear to have been funded along the way by certain governments, you know, my enemy's enemy and all that kind of logic. But I've been actually researching them. It was actually Andrew Maxwell, the comedian, who was up in the theatre in August. And Andrew's very into his Middle Eastern politics, very in touch. And he was saying that to me, you got to look at these guys. You really got to look. These are a different ball game altogether. You know, these people, their only fun is killing.
You know. Just on that, if you don't mind, just indulge me slightly, because there's been a lot of high profile coverage of what ISIS has been doing over there and these absolutely brutal beheadings and a number of journalists. And it's made the front pages, led the news. But there were at least 10 people beheaded yesterday by ISIS. And amongst them was journalist Rad Mohammed Al-Azawi, who's, I believe, from Iraq. And I just wanted to mention it because, you know, we speak so each life is equal to me. And we've seen the pictures and all the headlines of Western journalists being killed over there. But Rad Mohammed Al-Azawi, just 37, he was an Iraqi journalist. And I just don't get the feeling he's got the impression he's going to get many headlines here because he's not from here, in inverted commas. So, definitely. One death is as bad as the next, but I just wanted to mention
And there's no doubt that ISIS will kill many, many more Muslims than people of any other religion or indeed of no faith.
I have a serious issue with how this is being covered, okay? Because, you know, the only thing that ISIS can achieve from these beheadings is propaganda for ISIS. And it's the media that is actually publicising this propaganda. If someone is beheaded and this person says, you know, this is on the blood's on David Cameron's hands, the blood's on someone else's hands and so on and so forth. The only function of murdering someone is to get that message out. Now, if we are putting that message out, were there a propaganda machine? Should we not just be ignoring it?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I don't think we can ignore them.
Well, don't broadcast the propaganda, maybe.
Well, no, I think it's horrific, people broadcasting beheading videos and whatever, and I certainly haven't watched any of them. I don't know why anyone would want to watch it. Just the thought in your head's enough, I think. And certainly that way. I suppose, you know, I think there are very intelligent people, in a sense, I suppose, but with a lot of intellect, involved in ISIS, and they understand how rolling media, for example, works, and they're feeding that. They're feeding that
and
machine.
And there's a hunger for information. And
and they're feeding that machine. But I think, you know, we've seen Al-Qaeda, we've seen the Taliban. I think ISIS are a very, very different ballgame. And while personally I would have said, you know, Afghanistan, Iraq, we should be leaving well enough alone, I personally think ISIS need to be wiped out. You know,
I mean, you see, airstrikes are ineffective. I don't know the geography or the exact names of it, but they took a town yesterday, and it was in an area where they were targeted by airstrikes, and yet they were still able to do this. So, I mean, you're talking troops back on the ground, and is there a nation in the West that wants to do that again? Because this will be a very ground-in, messy, dirty, death-filled war.
I think you're talking World War III. I really think that's where it's going, reading all this and watching everything. You know, you look at the appeasement during the Second World War, which did nothing. You can't appease these people. Yeah. You know, they want to wipe out all Muslims who don't follow them.
Last thing, Dahi, the clock is going at a rate that is unfortunate. Okay, right. Roy Keane, we're going to talk about him, Dahi, in any case. He shaved his beard off, so that made the headlines yesterday, which is somewhat hard to believe.
Isn't it incredible? Yeah.
But what about him? What about this fella? I mean, is he using his deputy manager's job in Ireland to feather his nest?
Undoubtedly, I suppose. I think he's actually a very genuine character. I've always thought he's genuine. I think you get very genuine reactions out of him. He just has that little button that goes off, doesn't he? You know, he just, you know, the red mist descends and he goes. But I got to say, he's so quotable. I mean, you know, and I mean, if anybody thinks that book was an accident, that it was on the shelves of Tesco on Monday, they're in dreamland.
Do you think his stock's going to go down, though, in that he's kind of backpedaled a little bit on Saipan, and there's a lot of arguments happened across pints and across dinner tables about was he right? Now he's saying he was wrong about Saipan, to paraphrase, and also very critical, it seems, of Alex Ferguson, which, you know, that's to some people like criticising a higher being. Is it possible that he could damage his stock with this book, or is this Roy Keane?
Yeah, he's Roy Keane. He's always polarised people. I mean, it was, you know, people talk about it as the second Irish Civil War, don't they, Saipan? Yeah. You know, which side do you sit on? I think what he said about it, though, is answering some of the criticisms of him. He's saying, you know, I was the big loser. I didn't get to play for my country in that World Cup. And I let my country down. Yeah. And I suppose those would be the criticisms. I didn't see him backpedalling on, I shouldn't have said that to Mick McCarthy.
Right.
You know, he's not sort of...
But he should have played. Did he not say that? Or does he say
that? No, he wishes he'd played. Mm. You know, there's no doubt about that. And sure, why wouldn't you wish it? Wouldn't we all? I mean, if I went out to play for Ireland, you think they're bad now. Imagine how bad they would be. But if they called me... You know what I mean?
Who's to say you couldn't make a change in the centre of defence?
I'd stick the boots on.
Yeah.
I'd go and get the jersey. It'd be horrible.
Yeah.
But you want to play for your country.
And if you got the book, are you going to get the book? Or?
No, I don't think so. I don't really do autobiographies, I have to say. It's not really... I like escapist stuff. I like thrillers. I like crime thrillers, really.
I'm a bit like that myself, but not reading. I don't really read books as such, but I prefer to absorb it via my eyes rather than, from a TV rather than from a page.
Oh, right.
But listen, as I say, it's not going to do him any harm probably anyway, is it?
It's not.
Right,
it's
anything? Not. What's coming up in the on Green Arm? Anything of...
Yeah, we've a really busy time. We're really busy. You talk about the lift. We're getting our lift now.
No, you said there wasn't one.
Things are looking up a bit.
Would you make it about 10 minutes ago? You said there was no...
Do you know what it is, Greg? It's about sentiment, isn't it? If people feel things are going
to
be better...
You said to me 10 minutes ago that there's no lift.
There's no lift to me. I haven't got any more money. But
anyway, on a positive and genuine, it's great to see the theatre doing so well.
Thank you.
And it is getting... Yeah. There are more bombs on seats. So what's coming up?
We have Northwest Opera with Carmen this week, which will be very popular on Friday and Saturday. You should be in it, Greg. You should be in it. Listen to that voice.
I should be on the stage. It left 10 minutes ago.
Boom. You should be on TV. We could turn over.
Yeah, exactly.
But then the week after...
But if you sing Beside the Window, I'll help you out.
Thank you.
That's the last one. Carry on.
We have the Abbey Theatre, our national theatre, coming up with their full stage production of Sive. I nearly lost it there.
Brilliant.
Sive by John B. Keane. So that's the big one for me. That actually, I mean, it's amazing how the economy of things work. That makes or breaks my season. That's
Brilliant.
Our big expenditure. Excellent. You know, we're expecting 2,000+ people through.
Fantastic.
So that does it. So
right, Dahi, I'm going to ask you to sing Far, Far Away.
Yes, exactly.
It's been a pleasure having you in.
If I could sing, I'd have joined a rock and roll band. I wouldn't be doing a 9-to-5 job, you know.
Dahi Ramsey, manager of On Green, and always great to have you in and get your opinions on stuff. Yep. And you're on Twitter too. How do people follow you if they want to?
I'm at Dahi on a Roll on Twitter. And, you know, if they want to go to yours, actually, at Greg Hughes too, they'll see our common interactions, discussions.
Okay. Dahi, brilliant. Thanks for coming in. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. And thanks so much to so many of you contributing to the programme yourselves. It's our programme, not mine or not Yvonne's. It's all of ours. So anything you want to talk about, anything you want to say, get in touch. 086-7700-555 is the text line. Call us on 074-91-25000. Still to come on the programme, No Salt celebrity chef Brian McDermott. He's back on RTE screens during the week. Well, he's in studio with us talking. I've been reliably informed he's coming in with some quite nice food too, as he always does. We hear about a new programme coming up too, which is in production at the moment. They're looking for Donegal families. Well, effectively, the thrust of it is, you know, we're talking about living on certain amount of means, and TDs are going to be invited to do that. So we'll tease that out more. Wayne Fest's running across Donegal at the moment. It's an initiative directed towards school children. We'll be talking about that. And Oisin will probably be back on with us at some stage too to talk about the Donegal Harvest Rally. And there is live music in studio and conversation before 12 with the Henry Girls. Loads to come in the programme. Stay tuned.
We're through. smile could probably light up New York after dark. Okay, you're cover boy pretty, stand with a beauty mark. But it's such a pity, a boy so pretty with...
Okay, that's the first hour of the weekend edition here on Highland Radio, concluded already.